Today's talk is a continuation of what I started last week. So today is part two of Healing 2 plus 2. I'm going to review a couple of different things. Healing 2 plus 2 involves two energies. That's the first two, of course. Father energy and mother energy. We could think of father energy as electricity. We could think of it as intelligence. Mother energy could be thought of as magnetism and love. So everything I'm talking about is going to be in simplistic terms, and these terms are so fully and beautifully defined in the book Christ Returns, Reveal Startling Truth, that I really encourage you to become familiar with that. The PDFs are for free, and the book is for sale. So if our father and our mother energies is what really makes us something, it makes us physically existent, then you and I can think of ourselves as electromagnetic, same as our parents were electromagnetic, because those two energies went into the creation of their physicality as well. So think of this. You and I are intelligence and love, electromagnetic. And that's not a bad combination, right? I wouldn't be offended by being and acting intelligently and lovingly. Electricity and magnetism, as you already know, have distinct characteristics. So, simply put, you can think of electricity as going out, moving, and magnetism as the drawing in, the pulling in, the attracting inward. The other two in the Healing 2 plus 2 model that I'm describing refers to the twin impulses of bonding, rejecting. So you can think of bonding as drawing in, making things come together into a whole, and you could think of rejecting as separating, pushing apart, going outward. So you see these characteristics in humanity all the time. Now, that I'm aware of them and you're aware of them. You could see it in yourself, you can feel it in yourself, and you could see it in other people's behaviors, and you can hear it in their words. In a nutshell, though, what I'm going to say is that, according to the book, and I believe it, is that father energy and mother energy are the main ingredients in you and me, as well as the main ingredients in everything that's visible in our universe. If we can see it, and even those things that we can't see, father energy and mother energy are the key components that have shaped consciousness into those forms. Now, bonding, rejecting, even though in letter 2, Christ defines these, when they're ego-driven, as being the source of all human suffering, the fact of the matter is, without bonding, rejecting happening, we wouldn't exist. Nothing physical would exist. So they are essential to our existence as individuals, and they're important and essential to all visible things. Now, you and I will notice this, certainly, if you ever watch 6 o'clock news, or you read a headline, or you got into an argument, or you overheard an argument, you're going to see that that bonding rejecting, which is natural, but when it's driven by the human ego, to grab what we want and push other people aside without regard to their needs or their interests, then we're going to say, oh yeah, yeah, now I understand how that can be the characteristic that leads to all human suffering. If we can notice those tendencies to bond and reject on an ego-driven basis, on a human consciousness basis, and also be able to understand that and notice this, because it's already happened in your own lives and in my life, that occasionally we will rise above that human consciousness and recognize that doing something for somebody else has produced tremendous feelings of well-being, tremendous feelings of love in ourselves, for ourselves as well as others. This kind of balancing our self-interest with other people's self-interest. When we recognize that and you go, you know what? you know what? I want more of that and less of this. I got to get it. Lust and cravings and greed and corruption and all the rest of the stuff that we can see going on in us and around us. We'll go, you know what? This is really what I want to heal. I want to heal whatever beliefs in me that says that this inappropriate bonding or this inappropriate rejection is going to lead to my happiness. Because it's not going to. It's not going to. Because when we use it inappropriately, we are sowing seeds to our own future dismay. We're going to be harvesting that same kind of inappropriate bonding, inappropriate rejection. So, knowing this, knowing the difference between these high vibration, higher consciousness, bonding, rejecting, and lower vibration driven by human ego, gives us an opportunity to say, okay, it's clear to me what I want to develop the ability to do. I want to heal the beliefs that drive me to be a caveman or a cavewoman. So let me talk about the directionalization of energy. I like that. That's a big word. I made it up. I like to add syllables to words. I think you can't have too many syllables. So direction of energy, the directionalization of energy, is the idea that energy is going to move. It wants to move. It's normally moving, unless we're interfering with it, unless we're blocking it. And the direction it wants to move is in the direction of growth, nutrition and nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of need, etc. It wants to go there because it's designed that way. That's divine consciousness's intention, to move energy in the direction that will promote those concepts. And if it wants to move there to achieve a level of balance, then we could go, oh, well, you know, that might be worth healing. And maybe I could overcome my tendency to block it or to interfere with it. So I want to talk about Mother Energy a little bit more here. If you think of it, Mother Energy, Now, our experience in this lifetime with it, it primarily came from mothers. They're the ones who most often typified this type of energy. Probably other sources as well. If you grew up in a family that had sisters or grandmothers or aunts or female babysitters or female teachers or perhaps the mothers of your childhood friends, you're going to be exposed to mother energy in a variety of ways. Ideally, some of it, if maybe most of it, was very high vibration kind of energy, caring, nurturing, nourishing, healing oriented, organizing in a loving, respectful kind of way. That's mother energy. Recently, I talked about healing in three different directions as it pertains to mother energy and rejecting. So let me just touch upon these things. It's important to heal, number one, any sense that we have of being rejected by mothers, mother energy, or other females who are displaying mother energy, or we associate with mother energy. The other night, my wife and I were watching a TV program, and there was some sort of friction between two young females, I'll say about 20 years old, and one of the younger women was rejecting the other person. She was rejecting her through, you know, making fun of her, trying to humiliate her, embarrass her, putting her down, basically looking down upon her. Now, the word rejection sounds like a single concept. One word, rejection. But the trouble is, when it's reduced to a single word like that, we kind of pay no attention to it. And in fact, it shows up as criticism or humiliation, as it did in that TV program, or hitting or scorn or some other form of belittlement. And there's a whole bunch of other energy patterns that we use to display this energy of rejecting. You do it. I do it. We all do it. However, our goal is to do less and less of it. Because it looks like it gets our needs met, but it's fictional. That does not. It sets in motion more disharmony for our future harvests. It hurts people. it damages them, and it's going to boomerang and come back to damage us. So the less we do of that, the better off we're going to be. The second thing important to heal is that those, I'll say, any sense that we have, any perception, any memory of an event where we have of our own rejecting our mothers or anybody else who represented mother energy. Now, there are a lot of energy patterns that would fall into this category. Backtalk, right? We could be gossiping about our mothers or our sisters or aunts or grandmothers behind their back and belittling them. We could be embarrassed internally in that this woman was our mother, sister, aunt, name it. All of that stuff could be healed. There seem to be extremes going on now that you read about periodically, that people are abusing their mothers, even younger people. You know, their mother, these people are like teenagers or 20 years old, or the elderly abusing their mothers later on in life, near the end of their lives. All of that, if we've got any of those experiences, if we've got those energies going on for us, those things need to be healed. I think this third direction of energy is probably the most damaging. So if we have it, and I think probably we all do, this is really what we want to do. We want to heal our tendency to reject the mother energy in us. If you're a woman, you have mother energy. If you're a man, you have mother energy. And if you deny that caring, nurturing, loving, supportive, organizing kind of energy in you, you definitely want to heal that. If we're at war with ourselves, we say, I want health, but we're not whole because we're at war with ourselves, because we reject this characteristic in ourselves, we've got problems. So if we consist of mother energy and father energy, and we reject that mother energy part of us, I'm thinking we can pretty much bank on having problems in our lives. Some of the things I've heard in conversation is people regretting being female, looking down on women, hating women, denying their own femininity, denying their sexuality, denying this caringness, this sensitivity, this lovingness that they have. And wish they were another way. Wish, much like a man might have done. I certainly did this as a teenager. I didn't want to feel what I felt. I wanted to be an oak tree. I wanted a suit of armor that protected me from feelings, particularly pain and embarrassment or anything else that was regarded as sensitivity. I was clearly denying this mother energy aspect, this nurturing, healing idea, despite the fact that since I was 16 years old, I always wanted to be involved in healing. And even before that, I wanted to be a priest because I wanted to minister to people. So that energy has been prevalent in my life. But if you can feel stuff, you can be hurt. Or actually, you can allow yourself to be hurt. And so it's this denial that happens in men that try to make themselves into cavemen. They think it's protective. I certainly did. But the trouble is, it shuts out life. It prevents feeling, and prevents feeling of all kinds of things, not just pain, but joy and happiness and other wonderful things that are part of a normal human life. As unpleasant as those denials of our feminine self and our sexuality and hating women and looking down with women, I think that culturally, both boys and girls are trained to demean the feminine. We're trained to demean female gender. We insult sensitive boys by calling them girl. Ah, you're a girl. You're a girl. As if girls are weaker than boys. And just the opposite is true. It's so weird. Just the opposite is true. Except perhaps when it comes down to lifting heavy weights. If you want some heavy weight lifted because of the sturdiness of a male's body, you'd probably want to get a boy or a man to do that job. But above that, women are far stronger. We know that. We know that. But we distort it because it's inconvenient. To demean somebody else is a standard human practice. We try to make other people less. What does that mean? Oh, by contrast, I must be more because I just made that other person less. We make other people less. We are going to harvest being made less. We're going to do it to ourselves, or other situations are going to conspire to deliver that harvest to us. This idea that women, from a creativity standpoint, from other characteristics, right, the ability to create, men don't carry children upon being impregnated, women do. The ability to nourish and to care for and to sustain a child or a cause or a business or to organize a home or a community or countries even. It's like all of that says women, mother energy is absolutely essential to any kind of harmony that we want to experience on this planet. The denial of this magnetic nature because of cultural lies, right? Don't be a girl, don't be a girl. I think maybe girls should be girls. And there were other misunderstandings about what we did by rejecting what we knew we should have done. If we've had an opportunity to do something for somebody else, but we didn't do it, you know, this is a concept in the book called Leadership and Self-Deception that is called self-betrayal. If we betray ourselves, that I would write that self with a capital S, when we violate this value that comes with us just naturally, this high spiritual value, now all of a sudden we end up rejecting ourselves. That needs to be healed. If we felt rejected, we will tend to reject. If we reject ourselves, we will tend to reject others too, because the pain of that self-rejection is, much like the static on a cold winter morning, is going to show up time and time again. I think there are other areas regarding mother energy that we will want to heal, and that is the area of being bonded or bonding inappropriately. We've done it, others have done it. It's like when we take something that doesn't belong to us, that's bonding inappropriately. When we go over the boundaries of somebody else inappropriately, that too is a bonding that needs to be healed. So if we've got perceptions that mother energy, other females with this energy either overwhelmed us or dominate us or otherwise violated our sovereignty, that is our physical, emotional, spiritual, mental space, we're going to want to heal our relationship with those events. If those people came over the boundary, we will want to heal that. Now, there were varying examples of that. One is extreme, of course, is sexual abuse by mother energy, and that's inappropriate, obviously. And on a lesser level is where a mother is interfering or overly involved and doesn't allow this sense of privacy, which is a natural requirement of our individual natures. We want security and we want privacy. So the mother who's always into your stuff is violating that. If that has happened to you, you're going to want to heal it, and it needs to be healed. If she's intruded on your body, not just your physical space of your, say, your bedroom or your diary or other private areas, you're going to want to heal that. Here's an idea to consider if you're a woman. It is your nature to magnetize and draw what you want to you. It is your nature to magnetize and draw what you want to you. That's mother energy, this magnetic nature. So consider that. Consider this too. Look at the conditions in your life, and then you might be able to discern whether you, am I in harmony with my magnetic nature? Am I drawing to me what I want, or am I not? it makes sense that if you have experiences in your life in which you've attracted negative experiences or were bonded with inappropriately, or you did the inappropriate bonding or rejecting, you may have turned off this natural power to attract. There are a lot of people who have done that. So you go, it's almost like a switch. You can intend to not be attractive. And you can imagine, I just highlighted a few of the reasons why a person might have arrived at that conclusion, this is what I need to do. And I would say that this disabling this power to attract could be self-protective. Why? Because you don't want to have the same kind of experiences that you have had in the past. They were painful, perhaps. And you go, I want to avoid those kind of future experiences. I'm going to turn this power off. Or maybe it's self-punishment because of a sense of undeservingness. No, I can't really have what I want. I can't have what I want. And here's a thought that just came to mind, is some people have made a vow or made an agreement. Dear God, if you'll fill in the blank, I will be okay with no happiness, no health, no joy, no love, no success. We negotiate away as children these natural positives, trying to get God, as if God is a father or mother that we're trying to negotiate with, because they're like bargaining across the table with us, and we give up our rights to health and happiness, love and success. That can all be healed. That can all be healed. Because, first of all, that's not how God works. There's no negotiation. It's like you can have whatever you want all the time, every time. It's like, don't I have to be good? Don't I have to? No, you just have to want it and allow it. Want it and allow it. Want it and allow it. But don't I have to, you know, stand on my head and go to the particular church no, you just need to want it and allow it. Want it and allow it. Whew, wow. We don't know about that magnetic nature. Yeah. This idea came to me as I was journaling the other day. All girls should be taught how to be magnetic. They should be taught how to be magnetic because that is the predominant power in their energy field. You could teach them how to be electric, too. You want them out on the soccer field. You want them playing basketball and, you know, doing all kinds of physical doingnesses. For sure you do. And you also want to teach boys about how to be magnetic. But with their energy, their electric nature, you're going to want them crashing into walls and climbing trees and running till they fall down, that sort of thing. But this idea of teaching girls how to be magnetic, make them aware that this is a natural part of their makeup, I think would be a fantastic thing. If you think of a magnet, if you've got a kitchen magnet or some stronger one, you go, magnets don't really have to manipulate or connive or to scheme or to charm or lie or do anything else like that in order to get the things to come to them. They just need to be magnetic. They just need to be magnetic. I think that's cool. That's cool. You know, if you've had experiences in the past and you're going to use those experiences, this occurred when I was 6, and that means it's going to occur when I'm 26, 36, 46, 56, 66, or so on. And in order to avoid a recurrence of that 6-year-old's experience, we disempower the magnetic nature. We're preventing what should be natural and easy for us. We need to heal the belief that what happened at 6 is going to happen every decade thereafter. That's not necessarily true unless we believe it. We can change the beliefs so we can access our true natures. That's the deal. That's the whole deal. Everybody understands that just because the day is Wednesday doesn't mean the next day is going to be or has to be Wednesday or like a Wednesday. it can be different. So the next day, the next unit of time can be different than the previous unit of time. And we think that, that's really obvious. But the fact of the matter is, that's pretty new. That's a pretty new idea. The realization that the past doesn't have to dictate the future. That concept is in psychology, in philosophy, is relatively new, maybe 150 or so years old in our culture. So you turn around and go, well, that's weird, because Jesus has been saying that for over 2,000 years. Exactly. But we overlook it and live our lives not according to what he says. You know, we basically label ourselves Christian or not Christian and then ignore anything Christ-like. But this ability to choose another thought, a feeling, word, action to create a different future than the previous past is new. We like it. I was having a conversation with one of my coaches who is Bible knowledgeable, and we're talking about mother energy, father energy. She said, right in the Old Testament, right in Genesis, it speaks to that. It speaks to this God and likeness of God and the mother energy and the father energy. You talk to male energy and female energy. It validates these two energy forms, if you will, two types that go into all human beings. But it's funny that we use the old, not funny, 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 sad, funny, weird, that we use the Old Testament to blame the woman's magnetic nature, right? All the ills of all humankind are blamed on Eve because of this allegory of the apple and the serpent and the Garden of Eden and her wanting it and inducing Adam, I guess, to go pull this apple off the tree and then take a bite of it. So we use that story to blame women. And because we can blame them, we can demonize them, we can demean them, we can diminish them, we can reduce them, and we disempower women. It's like, oh, that's pretty much humankind. Goes right back to what I was saying earlier. If we can make somebody less, then we, on a real primitive level, go, well, that makes me more. No, it doesn't. If you make somebody less, you made yourself even less. The diminisher is made less by diminishing somebody else. And the law of cause and effect, we reap what we sow, is going to prove that point. But you don't really need to wait for that harvest to understand that that is a fact. Nonetheless, we do it. I see one of the really most unfortunate symptoms of a demagnetized woman is that, and how do you get demagnetized? By terrible experiences, by being demeaned by men, by being abused, having even women do that to women. So mothers do that to daughters. So it's not relegated to only men as the abusers, but the symptom of a demagnetized woman that I want to talk about is this tendency to emasculate men. Why? Because we're trying to make somebody or something else less than, and in order to feel better than. Women emasculate men. That's a pretty standard characteristic. Like men disempower and demean women, women try to emasculate men. They don't really have the power to castrate them very often with a knife, Lorena Bobbitt, but the fact of the matter is they can do it with words and thoughts and actions in other ways, trying to reduce the electric nature of a man. But you see, this whole characteristic, men and women display this. The weak want to make the strong weak in an effort to ensure their own survival. The strong, I mean, we're talking about real strong people, legitimately strong people want to empower other people. The weak that have gotten to the top of the hill because of conniving and scheming and so on, they want to keep everybody else weak because they believe in their own weakness, so they are really invested in disempowering other people. And you can see that in present time with no difficulty at all. Negative propagandizing men is a common failing of mothers. They do it in conversations with their children and other people. It's as if that the bitter women forget that their children consist of two energies, mother energy and father energy, and then they start demonizing the father aspect in front of the children, in front of their daughters, in front of their sons, and they think nothing of it. They either overlook it entirely or they don't really care that they're damaging the children's ability to effectively access these two parts of themselves. It's like smashing half of the child and thinking you're doing no harm to the child. That is really very unenlightened. That is very unaware to think that you can damage somebody else and not pay a price for that. And you think you can damage somebody verbally and it's not going to impact the listeners taking in this toxic energy. And then if they're your own children who are being propagandized, bad news. Really, really bad news. Here is something to consider if you're a man. It is your nature to plant seeds that will grow and express divine consciousness. And I'm not just talking about sperm. Obviously, that's a factor in terms of sexuality and physicality. But I'm talking about ideas as well. Giving birth to an idea and wanting that to come into physical manifestation. That's the electric nature. I got a spark of an idea. I want to bring this business. I want this cause or this whatever. I want that to grow into physical manifestation. A man needs to do. And if you look at the conditions in your life as a man, or even as a woman, and you can see that there's a lack of effective doing, you're going to want to heal any experiences and every experience related to your doing, that is your father energy, and your biological father, the father that you grew up with, where males were made wrong. If your father energy and your father's energy and his doingness and other people's doingnesses were made wrong by women or by men, and so that doing it, you know, so it's almost as if we have most of our doingnesses as little children was like touching a hot stove. Guess what we're going to learn? We're not going to touch hot stoves. But if everything is like a hot stove, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that, don't do this, don't touch that, don't, no. Then you go like, I don't really have any suitable outlet. I don't have any suitable direction for my electric energy. What do I do? That child is going to be really severely disadvantaged because if they don't have a constructive, useful, valuable self or mutually reinforcing expression of that electric nature, that energy is going to end up becoming destructive. Destructive not only to that child, that as it grows into a teenager or older, and destructive to other people and the environment. When you start to see what happens, you go, yikes, that didn't have to be that way. Men treated disrespectfully by women or others in front of a boy can do a couple of different things, maybe many more, one of which is to see women as people to be disrespected. They see them as the saber-toothed tigers. You got to dominate these women or you got to overwhelm them in order to prevent them from harming your maleness, or you got to avoid them altogether. So you look around and go, whoa, that's not a good series of possibilities. Don't want that. And even worse, I think when a boy is subjected to the demonization of a male energy, then that boy can end up hating men. They become antagonistic to men because they're infected with this energy of man as evil, man as bad, man as awful. So this child is part this energy, of course. Now, self-hatred is now overflowing and splashing on other men. And so now, anything of a male masculine nature is the enemy. That's a terrible war to have. There have been talks in articles having to do with the feminization of males in our culture. Now, some of that concern is about the chemicals that are harming men, you know, all the, you know, stuff that's in the water being urinated into the water by drug-taking males and females, and all those chemicals are doing really awful things to the male physical body. But the repetition of man's inhumanity constantly going on, it causes us to want to, my electric nature is going to wreak havoc on people. I got to turn it off. That's on and on. I think there's a political agenda to that thing. It's another form of emasculation or castration. If we can get men to turn off their electric, creative, causative natures, then those that don't turn it off, those weak who have risen through whatever schemes, can manipulate people more effectively. I think there's also an agenda, now this is a side thought, about the constant repetition that I've seen over the years about Nazi Germany. I think that is brought back in order to, weaken the German will. Now, the German will is a powerful, powerful thing. You can see it economically. You can see it on a lot of different levels. And that it's, to me, a very electric nature. They do a lot of inventions. They're in the forefront of alternative medicine and a lot of different things. But when we look at World War I, and certainly when we look at the Nazi rise to power in World War II with Hitler, that electric nature was not at all constructive, but in fact really destructive. So when that is brought up as got to be careful of this, this is kind of a global conspiracy to keep the Germans under control, to prevent them from rising to a natural level of, say, power in the world. Certainly Americans are trying to do this to everybody. We're stuck now because we're not able to do it with the Chinese. There's too much energy in that country on every level that we don't really have any kind of capability to subvert them. Not that we're not going to try on every level, but we've done it with the Russians and the Soviet Union. We've done it with other countries. We're doing it in the Mideast. And a lot of this, making people less, is really the agenda of the American, I'll put in quotes the word elite. They're not elite. They're powerful. They're influential. They're greedy. But in terms of consciousness, they're anything but elite. If you could think of electricity as this power that has the potential for great good, now anybody who's looking at computers, and I'm looking at the microphone that I'm speaking into, and because its blue light is on, I know there's power to it. We know that lots of good things are brought to life by electricity. Electricity is a fantastic power. There are a couple of different problems, one of which is so much of electric power is switched off for fear of doing bad things, or because we have used it and it's marketing that it is huge for inappropriate things, it is doing bad things, we try to keep it under wraps, we try to keep it under control, we try to turn it off. Or when it kept under control, like in a headlock. Ultimately, it explodes. It's kind of like road rage. It didn't have to be road rage if those electrical impulses were dealt with as they occurred. But because somebody refused to deal with them, all of a sudden that pressure cooker with no outlet explodes into terrible things. Road rage, going postal, shootings in high schools and college, in business circumstances. All of that is because of blocked energy that had been denied or not successfully or effectively dealt with over time. For anybody, and I was specifically speaking about men, but women can look at the same thing. If you have a sense of being unproductive, I would say that the order of the day is to rehabilitate the electric nature that we, both men and women, have so that we can redevelop this awareness and acceptance of doing. And all doing is not greed, get, and, you know, subjugate other people, but in fact, delivering divine consciousness in our unique way to other people, supporting them in their growth, healing, protection, nutrition and nourishment, fulfillment of their needs, providing work, survival, supporting this concept that is natural, these rhythms, natural cycles, all within the system of spiritual law and order, the law of cause and effect. If we have that as the frame of reference for our doing this, we're talking about a whole different experience in life. A common misunderstanding is that men who think that they're the source of the electricity, kind of, I'm a D battery. It's like, and we think we're self-contained. That's goofy. It's not true. We're rechargeable. And so where does the recharging come from? It comes from divine consciousness. I mean, how we can overlook that is, beyond understanding, because it's so obvious. When fingernails grow and scratches heal and hair grows and sandwiches digest, it's like, oh, yeah. I didn't actually do that with my intellect. I didn't do that with my father intelligence. No, that's true. You didn't. It happens. It's been designed by divine consciousness. And the sooner we accept that we're more like a conduit, we're more like an appliance that draws energy from divine consciousness and then uses it in our unique way and expresses it, the sooner we accept that, the sooner we're going to be aligned with our rightful nature. And, interestingly, we're going to be more creative, more causative, and more able to add life, that electricity, to our ideas. I think it's hugely important. Simply put, let me say that healing the interpretations and conclusions that we've associated with our experiences is how we can regain health and happiness. That's it. That's an easy sentence. Healing the interpretations and conclusions that we've associated with our experiences is how we regain health and happiness. Yeah, there's the answer to everything. Consider this. If a magnetic person has a traumatic experience, that person is likely to conclude that being magnetic was the problem. It would easily follow that person and go, oh, well, if my problem was because I was magnetic, I think the solution could be stop being magnetic. Stop wanting things. That, of course, is the worst solution possible. The best and only workable solution is to increase our awareness of how to be more effectively magnetic, not stop being magnetic. How can we become more effectively magnetic? I want to become aware of that. Increasing awareness is always the solution. Bonding with awareness is always the solution. If an electric person had a traumatic experience, it would be very easy for that person to conclude, being electric was the problem. And since that was the problem, being electric, I got to stop being electric. I got to stop doing things. I've got to stop touching things. Those are the worst possible solutions. Again, increased awareness in the use of one's electric nature. That's the solution. I gotta be more aware. I gotta increase my awareness. And so what I deliver electric energy to is exactly what I want, and I'm gonna practice until I gain a greater awareness, a greater effectiveness. And so now I'm not delivering it like a lightning thunderstorm, but in fact in a very directionalized, a very purposeful, a very intentive way. Increased awareness is the name of the game. If our female nature, girl or boy, was painful to us because of rejection or domination or overwhelm, we're going to tend to be in conflict with our female nature because we're going to associate pain with it. The same would be true of male energy. If we associate pain with that characteristic, then we're going to hate the perpetrators, if you will, and we're going to hate that part of our own nature. If we grew up in a family where females were brutalized or diminished, we will have been affected. If we grew up in a family where males were diminished or demonized, we will be affected. So those of us who have seen violence, we need to heal that. That energy was an ego-driven display of father energy. It is not inherent in father energy. Putting your finger in a socket and getting shocked doesn't make electricity bad. It's having the awareness not to put your finger in the socket is better. In two separate conversations in the same hour the other day, the imbalance of male-female energies was demonstrated to me. It was kind of amazing to me, actually. In one case, a woman was expressing her mother energy of love, overreached by wanting to control her husband. And you can understand, she wants to care for and nurture and wants the best and wants her husband to be healthy and happy. But she took on that role and diminished his input, his electric nature. So that line between caring and controlling, and the man in this case, who really has the right to establish the line if he's the recipient of this, he is the one being cared for, or if the line is overstepped, being infringed upon. And I know for a fact that the man in this relationship either tunes out or falls asleep or snipes back at these infringements, at these invasions, if you will, of his sovereign territory. Think of electric sparks or shutting down as an example of what happens in that case. There was also an issue of self-denial on the part of the man. He wasn't comfortable being magnetic, so he had trouble asking for, in prayer, had trouble asking God for healing for himself. It's like, it seems pretty clear to me why, because he was never encouraged to understand this idea of having things come to you because you wanted them to come to you. He didn't understand magnetism personally because his mother denied that in herself for whatever reasons, unbeknownst to me, or being cold and not radiating warmth or caring to him. And so he had almost no knowledge of this process of warmth, caring, nurturing, magnetic femininity. Except now, it was starting to develop in his relationship with his wife. His illness has caused him and his wife to start to unify and work on this area. And that was cool, because they are actively searching for some sort of a balance between these energies, although until I started to talk about it, they didn't put it into that context of their relationship, not only with themselves and how they were impacting him, but before me, they were really recognizing their need to turn to the divine. It was their relationship with the divine, their empowering connection to the source of all healing is what they were working on before me. I just happened to be one of the steps in their process. So that is really cool. The second conversation I had in that hour had to do with a magnetic woman's infidelity. Her magnetic nature was used to attract an electric nature of a divorcing man who was looking for what? Hello, what's an electric man looking for? Looking for a magnetic woman. There's no mystery there. No, he was looking for somebody to connect to. And this woman, instead of using her magnetic nature in a relationship with her husband and children and stepchildren, in fact, used it to attract an external male energy. Even though both of those people, the woman obviously knew she was married, and so did the other person know she was married, that their electric and magnetic natures, driven by ego, I want what I want, and I want it when I want it, period. Without any other considerations for agreements made, the morality or the legality or the ethics of that situation, connected, combined, and were unfaithful. You can see that magnetic nature, on the surface of it, can draw a man to a woman. Yep. And you go, oh yeah, they're drawn to it. And then, yeah. However, it also resulted in the destruction of a marriage and of a family. So while it drew something to it, it's kind of like a nuclear explosion, I suppose. It brought it to it, boom. Then it exploded and destroyed. I think in terms of the participating man in that situation, and that electric nature didn't really contribute to planting a seed that was going to grow into anything healthy, at least initially, because, you know, if you're the man in a relationship with a married woman, you can pretty much guess this is not a good thing. This is going to result in some destruction. If it ends up destroying that marriage, and it will, then it's destroyed that couple's marriage, that family, that home life. I suppose it's possible that this relationship is now going to grow and become healthy, but I can't imagine that to be true. A relationship started with a consciousness of ego, lust, unfaithfulness, dishonesty, deceit, self-justification. Oh, I did it because, right? That doesn't sound like promising energy, promising consciousness. That sounds like not the right ingredients for a healthy relationship. The good news is that the husband has found a way to extricate himself from a marriage that appeared to be doomed from the start. One of the challenges for the husband has been his own electromagnetic nature. His electric nature has been overshadowed by other people's, by his father's, by other people. And he's magnetically accepted input from a lot of people who had no business giving him input, but he took it anyway. All the gossip, all the naysayers, all the other people wanting to provide input about every aspect of his life. It's like, whoa, wait. How did my life get to be a committee meeting? I don't understand that. So that's really what the deal was. And so that was way out of line with his electric nature, and it was inappropriate. So let me back up. I would say that healing 2+2 involves first and foremost this. Forgiving oneself. Give up self-disapproval. Give up self-rejection. Forgive oneself. Accept oneself. Approve of oneself. As this awareness that we're making decisions at any moment in time from the level of our awareness, and accept that, and then choose in the next moment of time the highest level of awareness that is available to you. And then the next moment, do the same thing. Next moment, do the same thing. This beating ourselves up for the decision we made a moment ago, there's no value in that. There's no value. Just choose the next step at the highest possible consciousness that's available to you. When we feel the electricity of anger, of righteousness, for instance, building, we need to forgive ourselves. Even when you get mad at a politician or some other nonsense, that's a perfect time to turn around and forgive ourselves. I think that because that anger that we feel to those people is like static electricity that we create on a cold, dry winter morning by walking across carpeting in our shoes. We're angry at them, but it's an internal static. That's where we would heal. Heal that anger. Anger is produced internally, and then we release it by aiming at others and ourselves. Forgiveness, self-forgiveness is the key. If we magnetically attract excess food, for instance, we would need to forgive ourselves. It's the impulse of self-rejection that says we need to self-soothe in some way. Let's draw something to us, whether it's sex, drugs, and rock and roll, or food, or Twinkies, or something else in excess. This is what we need. It's not true. That's not what we need. Forgiveness is what we need. Self-forgiveness is what we need. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.